Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
As we enter the holiday season of 2011, God's blessings are abundant. It's our prayer that today's program will encourage and warm this season of year for you, especially if you need encouragement. Stay with us with Dr. Paul Chappell as we discover how to worship the Christ of Christmas. You know, in good times and bad, worship is so important to our joy and our stability in the Christian life. And this is truly a season of worship as we enter a time where we focus on God and His goodness, and we focus on what He gave us in the gift of His Son and the presence of Emmanuel. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features Dr. Paul Chappell and his teaching and preaching from the Word of God every Monday through Friday. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and the president of West Coast Baptist College, also in Lancaster. It's a joy to minister God's Word to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope that today's program will be an encouragement and a source of strength through a difficult time in your life or a season where you have some need. We hope to draw your attention to the Christ of Christmas and to what it means to truly worship Him this season. One of the ways we'd like to complement your walk with Christ is through our Daily in the Word website. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find a lot of resources on the website. Some of the most important ones, a link to this program where you can subscribe to the podcast and take this program with you on your iPod or computer. Also, you'll see a link for devotionals. That's a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell that you can subscribe to, and we hope that it will encourage you every day with a scripture reading and an encouraging word from Dr. Chappell. Also, a link to our online bookstore as you're preparing for a gift-giving time, and a link to Dr. Chappell's blog where you can keep up with what God is doing in his life and ministry. All of this and more, you'll find at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to hear a miraculous announcement. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost, then when the blood that was shed on the cross was shed, it was in fact the very sacrifice of God for the sins of the world. Years ago, I was looking at one of the comic strips from Charlie Brown, and a lot of fun looking at those. And he, in the Peanuts strip there, Linus and Lucy were looking out the window at the rain coming down. And as they looked at that, Lucy became very depressed. She said, "Oh boy, look at that rain." She said, "What if it floods the earth?" And she was kind of in a depressive mood, and Linus spoke up. He was kind of the theologian of the day. And he said, "Well, Lucy," he said, "I want you to know that that will never happen. In the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis, God promised with a rainbow that he would never flood the world again." And with a smile on her face, Lucy said to Linus, "You know, you've taken a great load off my mind." And Linus said to her, "Sound theology has a way of doing that. Sound theology has a way of doing that." You know, I want you to understand something this morning. There's a lot of theology in this story. And the theology is found in the fact that Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, "He who never began to be, but eternally existed, began to be what he eternally was not, and continued to be what he eternally was." He was the God-man. He was eternal God who became man. And yet while he was on this earth as a man, he never ceased being what he always was. And that is God. He was the God-man. And so the announcement was that Mary would give birth to a son. And secondly, that Mary's son would be divine. That he would be the Son of God. Now, having considered how he was conceived, let us consider who he is. He is the Son of God. The Bible tells us about his nature. The Bible tells us that he is eternal God. In your notes this morning is John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh." Now, capture that. And the Word, that is the eternally preexistent Word, the Word that was in the beginning, John 1:1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We refer to that as the incarnation. God became a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is this Jesus Christ? I say to you this morning, He is eternal God. That is who He is. I know that some may deny that and some may attack that truth, but you cannot deny the miracle of the virgin birth and the miracle of the empty tomb. He is eternal God. I say, secondly, He is fully God. Because of the virgin birth, Jesus Christ is fully God. The Bible says in Colossians 2 and verse 9, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now let's think of that verse for a moment. "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Let's say that together. "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead." In other words, He was very God, He was very man, He was the God-man. He is eternal God, He is fully God. May I say, thirdly, He was called God, Jesus was. And I know the Jehovah Witness and many other groups will say, well, He was not God, He was not equal with God. But the Scriptures bear out the fact that He was the God-man. Notice this Scripture in Hebrews 1, verse 6. "And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him." Now capture this. God the Father saying of His Son, "I want all the angels to worship Him." You see, Jesus Christ is above all, and every knee will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. And then notice verse 7. "And of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne," what are the next two words? "O God." So the Father says to the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom." And my friends, I say to you this morning, if God the Father refers to God the Son as God, then you have testimony of the fact that He is in His nature fully God. And so the announcement comes, and this miraculous announcement is that this Son would be divine, that He would be in His nature God in the flesh. But I want you to see this morning not only His nature, I want you to see His name. The Bible tells us His name in this passage. The Bible says in verse 31, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call His name Jesus." Now, the name Jesus means He will save. And that's exactly why Jesus came. The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm glad this morning that He loved us enough to come and lift us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon a rock and forgive our sin and give us the hope of heaven someday. That's why He came. He came to be our Savior. In the notes this morning is a quote from Billy Sunday. He said, "There are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose this was because He was infinitely beyond all that any one name could express." Well, I tell you, that is true. His name is a name that is above all names. It is the name of Jesus. I thank God for His name. I think about this name, Jesus. It's an easy name. Even a child can say it. Let's say it together this morning. Jesus. Let's say it again. Isn't that a precious name? Boy, when someone at work says that name in slang, it ought to grieve your spirit. Jesus is a precious name. It's a wonderful name. I've heard it in many different languages, and yet it always is a wonderful, precious name. It's an easy name. Did you know that in 1 Chronicles, there is a man by the name of Tilgath-Pilneser? Tilgath-Pilneser. In Isaiah, there is a man by the name of Maher Shalal Hashbaz. How many of you are glad that that's not what Jesus was called? How many of you are glad that that's not what you were called? Tilgath-Pilneser. Jesus is an easy name. Jesus is an esteemed name. It's an esteemed name because of the work of Jesus Christ, that He would come to this world, that He would die on the cross for the sins of the world, that hospitals have been named in His honor, and that orphanages have begun because of His love, and that sickness was healed by His power. His name is an esteemed name. His name is an enduring name. From Genesis 1 until Revelation 21 in verse 1, you'll find the name of Jesus throughout. You'll find the work of Jesus lifted up. His name is an eternal name. When history ends and those who made it are fallen, His name will remain because His name is above all names. And I say this morning, His name is an exclusive name, for the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. My friend, Jesus saves. It's an exclusive claim, this claim of Jesus. He claims to be the Savior of the world. His nature is divine. His name is wonderful. And I want you to think with me very quickly about His nation. For the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to His nation Israel. His tribe was Judah. His family was of the house of David. And you say, why is that always so significant during the Christmas season? Because it directly relates to the prophecies of the Old Testament. You see, Jesus Christ was prophesied. Hundreds of years before He came, it was said where He would be born and how He would be born and why He would be born. And His nation Israel was to receive Him as their king. Tragically, the Bible says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But that does not take away the fact that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. As one from the line of David, Jesus would fulfill all the promises made to David. One of those promises was that Jesus Christ would come and that He would fulfill the Davidic covenant, that is, the promise that there would be a king that would rule over all of the house of Israel. 2 Samuel is where you find that promise. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12 says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out from thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And that throne will be established. It was not established when Jesus came the first time. But my friend, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming again. In fact, the angel said to the disciples as they watched Jesus ascending up into heaven, the angel said, this same Jesus will so come again in like manner also. And we recognize that that promise that God made to David will be fulfilled when Jesus comes again. Revelation 19:16 says it this way, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When the Bible says of His kingdom there shall be no end, just because Jesus was crucified and rose up to heaven and is allowing for this time of church age, this grace age, He's allowing the gospel to go out. Please make a note this morning. He has not forgotten His promise to Israel, and He will come back and He will redeem His people. And we thank God for the promises of the Word that have been given. And we recognize this morning in the book of Luke that this was an amazing appearance. We recognize it was a miraculous announcement concerning who Jesus was and what He would do. But I want you to see finally with me this morning that there is a godly agreement in this passage. Now again, we see a woman, Mary, hearing the most amazing announcement that would ever be given. We see a woman, Mary, receiving this news. We see here that as she's receiving the news, she now is faced with a choice. You know, that's just like God in all of our lives. It's one thing to hear a sermon. It's one thing to open the Bible and see a truth. It's another thing to respond to it. And I suppose the history of the world would have been different had Mary's response been different. Notice what the Bible tells us about Mary here. In verse 34, we see her response. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" I want you to notice in the first place Mary's concern. Mary's concern. Here she is, a young virgin woman, espoused to be married, and she is being told that she would give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think all of us can understand the cause for concern in her heart. Mary had great concern, and Mary had valid concern. But I love what Gabriel says in verse 37. He says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Would you read that verse with me this morning, verse 37, ready to begin? "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And I just want to stop this morning and say this. I don't know what your concern is, but I know the God that we serve. And with Him, nothing is impossible. Concerns come, fears come, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. I see Mary's concern, but I want you to focus on this as a practical portion of our message this morning. Mary's consent. Mary's consent. Now let's see what she says in verse 38, please. The Bible says, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Oh, these famous words. "Be it unto me according to thy word." If every Christian could live at that level in their Christian life, "Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Nevertheless, at thy will, we will let down the nets. At thy word, we will let down the nets. Lord, according to your word, we will do what you have asked us to do." Notice, first of all, she consented to his will. She consented to His will. And I wonder this morning, is there something in your life you know it's God's will for your life, whether that be salvation, whether that be baptism, whether that be church membership, whether that be tithing, whether that be some form of witnessing? You know something is God's will for your life, but to this point, you have resisted God. I wonder if today, like Mary, you could say, "Lord, according to your word, I will obey. Lord, I will, according to your word, consent and yield my will." All of us this Christmas can give one thing to the Lord, and that is a heart that is totally surrendered to Him. "Lord, here's my heart. Lord, here's my life. Take and use it." Luke 22 and verse 42 tells us that this is what Jesus did. The Bible says that Jesus said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And you see, we today who are saved sit here as a redeemed people because of a Savior who said, "Not my will," and because of a maiden named Mary who said, "Not my will." We are here today because of the love of God in yielding His heart to us. And now He asks us to yield our heart back to Him, that we would do His will. Mary consented to the will of God. William Barclay once was preaching, and Mr. Barclay said, "The most famous prayer in the world today is this prayer, 'Thy will be changed. Thy will be changed.'" But he said, "Our prayer should be, 'Thy will be done. Thy will be done.'" A lot of times we spend a lot of time praying, "Lord, would you change your mind about that? Would you change your mind about that?" But our prayer ought to be, "Lord, thy will be done." She consented to His will. But notice, more importantly, she consented to His word. You see, God's will is contained in God's word. And the word of Gabriel was revelation from God. Now, please understand me this morning. I'm not going to go around back of Albertsons looking for Mary to appear on the wall. Or I'm not going to go to Walmart and try to find some, you know, angel Gabriel after church speaking there. And a lot of folks will see a reflection from a light somewhere and they think it's God or an angel or something like this. You know what we have today? We have the Bible. God has revealed His Word to us, and He says, now I want you to hear it, and I want you to follow My Word for your life. And we see this in the life of Mary, as well as in the life of Jesus Christ. And you see, God wants us to come to that place where we will hear His Word, and then where we will surrender. And sometimes I wonder, what will it take to get some folks to surrender to the will and the Word of God? Mary just had to ponder what God was saying, and she became an extraordinary illustration of a yielded spirit to God Almighty. And I want to say this morning. I don't know what God may be tugging on your heart about. I don't know if God wants you to be a witness, or if God wants you to try to help some in some way, or maybe try to speak to your family about spiritual things. I mean, for some men, it's hard just to pray for their meal. Sometimes it's hard to open the Bible for men and read to their children. But I don't know what God might want you to do this Christmas season, but I want to tell you something. God will never try you above that which you are able. And with God's calling comes God's enabling. And God would never ask you to do something that would hurt you. God's heart is for you. Jeremiah is in your notes, 29:11. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Do you know what Mary had to do at that moment with the angel? Mary at that very moment had to stand there and hear what Gabriel said, and she had this choice. Will I trust God, or will I turn my back on God? She had that choice. Will I trust God? Does God have thoughts of peace toward me? Does God have thoughts of peace toward the world and goodwill? By the way, how many of you know that God does have those thoughts for the world? Amen? And He has them towards you. So when God brings you to a moment of personal crisis, when God brings you to a moment of great decision, just remember this. He's a trustworthy God, and you can follow Him all the way. There may be someone here this morning that has never trusted Him with their soul's keeping. I mean by that, you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You do not know if you died today that heaven would be your eternal home. I want you to know, my friend, that you can trust Christ and that He will forgive your sin, and that because Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, and because He is the Son of God, then when He died on that cross and shed His blood, that blood has brought the covering for your sin. And you can trust Jesus Christ to forgive your sin and to take you to heaven. And I want to challenge you today that if you have never received God's gift, then hear this. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you do not know that you have eternal life, I pray this morning that you would open your heart and receive Christ as Savior and begin trusting today and trust Him as your Savior. And then if you're here today wondering, well, can I really trust God, and perhaps confronted with a great decision like Mary was? I leave you with this quote from Andrew Murray. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him. How many of you would agree with me that God took care of Mary? I saw it all through the Scriptures today. And God will take care of you. It doesn't matter what comes. God will take care of you. You can trust Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this time to study Your Word and to see the glory and the miracle of Christmas. And God, I pray that You would help us to be yielded like Mary was. Nevertheless, at Thy Word, she was willing to consent to the Word of God. Help us to do the same this morning.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. Our series is entitled Worshiping the Christ of Christmas. We're turning our hearts to this holiday season and to what it's really all about, the presence of God Almighty and His blessed gift of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Pastor Chappell has just released a new book. It's entitled Christmas is a Gift. Unwrap the significance of the season. This is a beautiful mini book of encouraging thoughts from Scripture about the story of Christmas This book would make a wonderful addition to your coffee table through the season and an encouragement to you and your family. It would also make a wonderful gift to someone that you love and that you want to share Christ with this Christmas. Once again, it's Dr. Chappell's new hardback book, Christmas is a Gift. Unwrap the significance of the season. It's available when you call or write to us or when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can also place an order for this book when you call us toll-free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. And we would love to hear from you by mail. You can send your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. This Christmas season, you'll want to visit our online bookstore and find a treasury of resources that will encourage you and those you love. And don't forget Dr. Chappell's new book, Christmas is a Gift, a beautiful four-color hardback book. It's a gift size, 136 pages, mini hardback, and you will be encouraged by the message of this book, Christmas is a Gift. Unwrap the significance of the season. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.